This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Prescott back, play fake, time, throws it deep middle, Cobb, 35-40 running, 50 left sideline, 40, juggles it, fumbled the ball, got it back at the New England 25.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, Randall Cobb with the frightening moment. Kevin, you called it a heart stopper earlier today.
Yeah.
And man, because everything had to be perfect in that game. Nothing was. Not for the Cowboys, at least. They came away with a loss. But you know what? There was a lot more going on in the NFL throughout the day yesterday. So, Kevin, let's hit up some NFL clickbait. Click.
We start.
That works.
With Tyreek Hill. So the Chiefs had week 12 off, so Tyreek Hill didn't have to worry about it after the hamstring injury coming off the game in Mexico City. Andy Reid was asked today about his status for the game against the Raiders, and he said, "I think he'll be all right. We'll see how it goes." So Andy Reid optimistic that Tyreek Hill will be able to roll out for that game against the Raiders. Now, a couple players that you did not see yesterday, Jadeveon Clowney didn't play, and Alshon Jeffrey also didn't play in the Philly-Seattle game. Now, for Jadeveon Clowney, things could be a little bit more complicated. So he didn't practice all week due to knee and hip injury. However, he also went to go see a specialist for his core injury. And so the idea there is he's hoping he can play through it and doesn't have to go get surgery.
Oh, man, yeah. You definitely don't want to have to go get a surgery that's in his abs somewhere.
Yep.
Man, yeah, you don't want to have to go have surgery before the season's over. If you can wrap it up or have something that'll allow you to play throughout the year, that's what you want, man. You don't want something like that.
So Jadeveon Clowney, per Pete Carroll, said he's better for the long haul after getting the treatment, and word is they're optimistic that he'll be able to roll in week 13 against the Vikings. But again, I would say probably Tyreek Hill more likely to play than Jadeveon Clowney, just because that injury sounds more serious. But just keep an eye out on that. Maybe Jadeveon Clowney can play. Maybe he cannot.
All right. Then I think he probably won't, just because you know how I feel about
that. You think
that
he's soft?
Yeah, I think he's always been soft.
Wow.
No mental toughness, no real true work ethic about him. Looks good in a pair of underwear, though.
Oh, I don't.
I mean, like, whenever they did the underwear Olympics, Kevin, the combine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was trying to talk about there.
Just like we all predicted, the Ravens are on the road tonight against the Rams, and they're the favorite. They're favored by 3.5 points. However, it looks like they're going to have to go at it without defensive tackle Michael Pierce. Still a lingering ankle injury. He is unlikely to play tonight against the Rams. Now, let's go to some of the greatest players of all time.
Frank Gore.
Concur.
Not Frank Gore.
Curtis Martin.
No, okay. Stop it.
Steve DeBerg.
Let's focus specifically on the running backs. Which?
Frank Gore.
12. Damn it.
Shippy's right.
Which 12 running backs made the all-century team? Guess what?
Frank Gore.
Frank Gore did not make it. If Frank Gore would have made it, then I'd have backed down and been like, fine.
Which century are we talking about here, Kevin?
The 100 years of NFL football.
Okay, so not last century, but a combination of last century and this century.
Correct. And Frank Gore doesn't make it for either century.
Seems ridiculous that they wouldn't put the third most rushing yards in NFL history on that guy the list.
That's a two-century back right there.
That is a terrible, terrible take.
All right, I'll start things off with Emmitt Smith.
No. I mean, yes, but there's only two that make it unanimously. Emmitt Smith did not.
Really?
Yep.
He's an all-time leading rusher.
Yeah, shows what they think about that. They didn't put number three on there, and number one didn't make it unanimous.
Barry Sanders.
Nope.
Walter Payton.
Yes.
What a bunch of old people. Don't pay attention to what's going on nowadays.
They also don't care about domestic violence, if that helps
you. Jim Brown.
Jim Brown is the other one who made it unanimously. So, Jim Brown, he made the cut. Walter Payton, he made the cut.
Hey, Twitter world.
Oh.
O.J. Simpson, he made the cut.
Yeah, he did.
Marion Motley made the cut, as did Gale Sayers and Steve Van Buren. Bronco Nagurski booted off the list. So those six made the team. As did Dutch Clark.
All right.
Lenny Moore. Earl Campbell. Barry Sanders. Eric Dickerson. And Emmett Smith.
Where's Bo Jackson on here? Why isn't Bo Jackson on this list?
They're talking about good NFL players.
You better watch your mouth,
sir. He's the worst number one pick in the history of the
NFL. You would never say that to his face.
He's the most disappointing one, too. So,
would you say if we had a chance at the Super Bowl to interview Bo Jackson?
100%. Why was your NFL career so disappointing? And he'd be like, you know what? That's fair.
All right,
wouldn't he?
I am going to vie for our boss to get us Bo Jackson for that specific moment so that Shippy can play the audio for him.
Yep.
Only now, what if I told you they also released the all-time coaches list?
I got a couple of names that I could think are on there.
Who do you think's on there?
Bill Belichick.
Correct.
John Madden.
Nope.
What?
Neither's Tom Landry. But that's also because they only listed two of the coaches for some odd reason.
Oh, really?
They're slow playing the coaches. So there's 10 coaches. They're releasing those two at a time.
From the 214. Come on, Kevin. We all know OJ made the cut, but the
come on! What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? Just for the record, I think Luka is awesome. All right.
I think they're just taking a stab at guessing who else.
All right. All right. You guys are killing it today. Okay. So
what kind of pie do you think he's going to get a slice of for Thanksgiving?
Seriously? I don't even know. Let's not forget what he actually went to jail for was stealing and holding people kidnapped.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he held them hostage.
Did he invent the glove box?
No. 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 So there was only two head coaches that made it. One was Bill Belichick, and the other was Paul Brown. Now,
I thought you said Jim Brown was the running back.
No, we're talking about the coaches now. All Paul right. Brown, I'm going to go ahead and argue, might be the greatest coach in the history of football. Okay. You know who agrees with that? Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick said that Paul Brown is the greatest coach in the history of football. In his first 10 years in professional football, he won 7 championships.
How many good coaches were there, though? How many good teams were there at the time, you know?
I mean,
how many Bill Belichicks did he have to coach against?
I mean, Bill Belichick said he was the best.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. 3-time Sporting News Coach of the Year. He's in the Browns Ring of Honor. NCAA National Champion. 4-time High School National Champion. 6-time High School State Champion. Kevin, this dude was a champion every year. AP NFL Coach of the Year in 70. 3-time NFL champion, 4-time AAFC champion. His record 159-80-5. Like, that's ridiculous to have that kind of a record over your career.
I didn't think there was an AAF championship.
Well,
no, that's
AAFC,
different. That's so. A different thing. He also helped with things like changing practice times, creating injured lists, creating training camps, and he helped create had a hand in a lot of these different things.
He had 2 successful years coaching at Severin School. That's a high school. I feel like it's a Harry Potter school, but even still, that's pretty impressive. So he started at the high school level and then worked his way to Ohio State and then the Great Lakes Blue Jackets and then the Cleveland Browns, man. That's a pretty amazing career.
And Belichick said he's the best of all time.
Okay.
Let's talk about
who Bill Belichick really know, though.
I mean, he's on the list, too.
He barely beat the Cowboys on Sunday.
That's true. Let's talk about who's not the best of all time. The 2019 Detroit Lions. They lost to the Redskins 19-16. Did you know that the Detroit Lions became just the 3rd team in NFL history to hold a lead in all 11 of its first games and only win 3 or less of them? So think about that. The Lions are 3-7-1, yet they have had the lead in all 11 of their games.
Wow. And then lost it at some point.
And then lost the vast majority of them.
At least for seven of them. I guess maybe even for eight.
I still argue that Cardinals game should count as a loss because they should have won that game.
Wow, that's crazy, man.
They are 3-7-1 despite having leads in all 11 of their games. In case you missed it earlier, big news of the NFL day. Vita Vea at 347 pounds is the heaviest NFL player of all time to score a touchdown.
From the 469, you know who went hard for Paul Brown? Frank Gore, the GOAT. He didn't play for Paul Brown, all right? I know he's been in the league for a long time.
I want to know, like, that's your Twitter poll. Is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer?
All right, I'm doing it right now. I'll post it
In the majors.
You know which way I'm voting.
Yes, I absolutely know which way you're voting. All right, let's go to Antonio Brown. Sources are going around that Antonio Brown, the NFL, is probably a few weeks away from a possible discipline decision for Antonio Brown. Do you think he is going to be eligible to play in the NFL this year? Whether or not the Patriots would pick him back up or whatever, that's a different story. Do you think he will be eligible to play in the NFL again this season?
Sure, why not? I don't know exactly why he wouldn't be eligible unless the league says they've suspended him, but they haven't said that yet.
Yeah, with the threatening messages and everything towards that lady, do you think maybe they're like, we should probably not.
I don't know. Why wouldn't they just come out and suspend him anyway, even while he's not on a team? Why wouldn't they just, if they wanted to make a decision, why would they wait until he joined a team? But then again, the NFL's decision-making I don't think he's going to play this year for anybody.
Okay.
But being eligible, I'd think he would be, unless they said otherwise.
Now, we missed this opportunity earlier when we were going around the NFC East. Wanted to give you the point spreads for the teams this weekend. The Redskins are on the road against the Panthers. The Panthers are 10-point favorites. The Packers are on the road against the Giants. The Packers are 6.5-point favorites. The Eagles are on the road against the Dolphins. The Eagles are 8-point favorites. And the Bills are on the road against the Cowboys. However, the Bills are not the favorite. They opened up at 7.5-point underdogs to the Cowboys.
I think the Cowboys can do that, man. I think the
win
Cowboys,
by more than a touchdown?
I think they can I think their passing game might be able to get things rolling a little bit. Because Kevin, I watched that game yesterday, and the Dak had a couple balls sail on him, a couple throws that he missed that he doesn't typically miss, and I think that their game plan was actually pretty decent. They had a really good setup there. Some of their route combinations were working. Some of those completions changes the game a lot. So I think that in dry weather at home, Cowboys get a win against Buffalo by 8 points.
I figured Amari Cooper would be pretty straight up about this, but that play, they got reviewed and they said it was not a catch. Amari Cooper said, quote, "Yeah, that wasn't a catch. It hit the ground. I knew it hit the ground, but I gave my best effort to catch the ball. I just came up short." I was really hoping he would be like, "Yeah, we got screwed. That was definitely a catch. We should have gotten credit for that," but that doesn't really particularly seem like his MO. Now let's go to the Jaguars. Are you excited to know that Nick Foles mania will continue on? They're not going back to Gardner Minshew, even though they got absolutely pounded by the Titans yesterday.
I'm not really that super excited about that. But, you know, Nick Foles is back. And that's about all I can say about Nick Foles being back, man. That team kind of has fallen into a category of irrelevance to me.
Who's back?
You know, like they just seem to be a very irrelevant team at this point.
What do you think about speaking of irrelevancy, what do you think about the fact that the Ryan Tannehill quarterbacked Tennessee Titans have the exact same record as the Dallas Cowboys?
I think that's kind of a shocking thing that's happened because they're back too. I mean, did you know that the Titans had kind of come back? They're on a 2-game winning streak right now, but that thing looked destined to be a failure for the number one spot. I mean, not after the first game, because the first game they blew out the Browns, who hadn't figured anything out yet. But then all of a sudden, it just started falling apart, and I was like, ugh. And they go with Tannehill, and that changes the direction of the franchise?
Gave us the same number wild. Wins we've got.
Wild.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Mike Fisher on your home of the Dallas County. I mean, he's always here. We'll do it next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Coming up at 1:40, we'll talk with the G-Bag Nation. They're on the road today. You want to go find out what they're doing. They're in Grapevine. Looking forward to it. We also have Fish coming up in just a moment. Before we get to Fish, though, Kevin, 1053thefan.com/peace-a-thon. I want you to go there right now. Click the click here to bid link, and that's going to take you to the Peace-a-thon auction page. Go click browse items, and you're going to look at all the items we got up right now. They are live. You can go ahead and start bidding now if you want to.
I couldn't believe it. We already sold something and had bids on two other things before I knew it was even up.
We have two things that I'm really high on. The Five Points Distillery Tour out in Forney. They are up right now. It's currently at $200. Six people get to go out there, try some samples, some private barrels, and also have some light bites and some foods and tour the facility. And that's for, it's at $200 right now, but it's a $500 value. And then the Petacolas thing, if you click on that and scroll
that's
down,
crazy.
It's a 3-hour party in the Petacolas tap room for 50 people. You need to go bid on that right there, because I think the value is at $2,050. But that thing could go up real fast. I mean, if you save $4,100, I want to buy it right now. That puts you in their place having a party with 50 maybe of your friends or maybe of your employees. Guys who are working, go tell your boss. Petacola's party is going to be awesome. All right, let's go to our good friend Mike Fisher right now. Fish, how you doing today, man?
Well, Jason Garrett's thinking of buying that Petacola party, but he doesn't have 50 friends right now.
Oh, no. Man. Has everybody turned against him already, Fish?
Oh my gosh. It's very, very difficult times in Cowboy Land. Of course, we were in the Cowboy locker room at New England last night, monitoring Jerry Jones. The media, that was about as big a crowd for a road game around Jerry as there's ever been, because obviously the media was poised for a beheading, and we almost got it.
Almost, yeah.
They're not going to fire the special teams coach, Keith O'Quinn, when there's another game to play in 72 hours. And frankly, and I say this with all due respect to guys on this coaching staff who I have great relationships with, I don't know that there's anybody qualified on the coaching staff who could jump up and make special teams better, who has the credentials to have done that or the experience to do that.
How concerning can we stop on that for just 1 second, Fish?
Yeah.
How concerning is that when you don't have a viable candidate to replace? Like, they've been maybe the worst special teams in the league. How concerning is it when you don't have anybody that jumps to mind that could take over for the worst?
This is, after yesterday, this is the worst special teams in the league. And I don't know, I don't need, like, the stat sheet to show it. You guys may have quick access to that, and maybe we can show something, you know, some stats about kickoff return numbers, average yardage. But I don't mean that. I'm talking about fielding kickoffs.
Yeah, just catch the
I'm
ball.
I'm talking – the Cowboys have a – I shouldn't say they have a, but last night they did – had a kickoff return team that can't return kickoffs. And as soon as Bill Belichick realized it, you guys I'm sure will recall, the first kickoff went through the end zone, right?
Yep.
The second kickoff, maybe accidentally, was short. And it was a clown show. And then Bill Belichick wasted no time. Every other kickoff after that was short. And Jason Garrett made some reference this morning to some adjustment they made in personnel. But whoever they put in there can't catch kickoffs because they didn't catch them. They either botched them, bobbled them, or on one case, almost didn't field it at all. And there's some things about, hey, well, you know, why did that 50-yard run happen, or why did that sack happen, that we as fans and laymen, we can't watch TV and know that. There's a lot of intricacies to this. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
But there's no intricacies to the other team lining up in punt return, and then the return man comes near the line of scrimmage, so they've got punt return turns might become punt block. That's not intricate. That's like junior high. And the Cowboys didn't know what to do. And so in the first quarter alone, I miss a field goal, which happens. I give up a punt block, which does not happen. And that gives them a free touchdown. And then I almost muff away a kickoff that almost bounces off my chest right back into the Patriots' hands. That was in the first quarter alone. That was the only 13-9 game I've ever seen where the score just felt like it was 30-9 the whole game.
We had Steven on a little earlier today and asked if they were getting the best out of their coaching staff that they possibly could. And Steven said one of his best qualities is that Jason Garrett's work ethic. And somebody texted in and said, shouldn't his best quality be his coaching? And it didn't sound like Jerry Jones felt like he was getting the best out of this staff on every level right now.
I think Steven and Jerry can kind of play good cop and bad cop here. And maybe not play it like playing roles. Maybe they really are assuming those positions. Maybe that's their real view, is that Jerry said what he thought was important to say and that Steven said what he thought was important to say. But there's nobody in that building who thinks they're getting the most out of their coaching staff. When it comes to work ethic, first of all, and you guys have good work ethic. I have good work ethic. We don't get a raise for work ethic. Mm-mm. We're supposed to have work ethic.
Yeah.
I thought that Jason Garrett, and by the way, I do want to point this out. I think most of the Tolos understand this. I've had a relationship with Jason for a quarter of a century, and I consider it to be a friendly relationship. So I'm not spewing venom just for the fun of it or just for the sport of it. I thought attention to detail was a coaching strength around here. And we couldn't even figure out whether or not the quarterback should wear a glove or not.
Yes.
Man, fish going off on Jason Garrett.
Well, I mean, like, you have four former quarterbacks in that room, and none of them were like, hey, you might want to wear the glove because it's going to be cold.
You have quarterbacks on the roster. You had cold days in Dallas on Thursday, I think, and definitely on Friday, cold and rainy days even. Friday, outside in the backyard at the Star in the rain, would have been a good day to figure out if a glove was appropriate. The Cowboys arrived at the stadium at about 12:30 yesterday, I think, 4 hours before game time. You had 4 hours to figure it out. And by the way, this isn't the equipment staff's problem. They got blue gloves, they got red gloves, they got tall gloves, they got short gloves, they got whatever you want. But somebody's got to figure it out. Attention to detail is the most bothersome thing here. But the conservatism is also bothersome. And it's a word that when I bring it up to Jason Garrett over the course of the last 10 years, he just absolutely despises it. He doesn't agree with it. But the approach to what became the 4th-and-7 field goal, the approach was conservatism. It's not just kicking the field goal on 4th-and-7 that is arguably the wrong move. The probability chart, by the way, makes it 18% versus 16%. Hey, go for it. Go for a touchdown, you got an 18% probability. Go for a field goal, you got a 16% probability. Oh. Neither one of those sound very inviting to me.
Yeah.
But what did you do on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd down? How did you end up in 4th and 7? Why didn't you view that as 4 down territory? Because the probability goes way up if you think, can we get 10 yards on 4 downs? Your chances of getting 10 yards and 4 downs are pretty good. Your chances of kicking the field goal on 4th and 7, and first of all, you got to make it. I'm not sure what the probability around here in that weather is anymore. And then you've got to stop Tom Brady, and then you've got to get the ball back, and then you've got to march the length of the field and still score a touchdown because you're down 4 still. You've still got to score a touchdown. You think you're going to get a better opportunity to score a touchdown with seconds left on the clock against the #1 defense in football at New England in freezing rain weather that is hitting your skin and feels like little tiny knives. And you couldn't do it all day. Every pass thrown to Randall Cobb, he bobbled. Every pass thrown to Amari Cooper was incomplete. But you were going to do it this time. against insurmountable odds when you had to score a touchdown anyway. The analytics here, and Choppy, I'm gonna kick Choppy right in the teeth again, I do every day. I love Choppy. I'm just kidding. I love Choppy. But Choppy insists that the Cowboys don't have an analytics department. And he's wrong. What RJ's right about is how this coaching staff apparently doesn't apply analytics.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really insightful.
Then what's the point?
I thought it was insightful for Sean and RJ to get Garrett to concede that he doesn't use analytics like that, like probability chart in the game, when we know some NFL teams do. But so Choppy's wrong that they don't have it, but we're now, the morning show has now revealed to the world that they don't use it.
Yeah.
The best way, I think Rick Carlisle is one of the best in the league, in the NBA, in all of sports. I've said this to you guys before. He's got 1 foot in Mark Cuban.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.